actually. I wasn't there then.
No.
But...
Do you know when it was set up?
In the last issue... And I was reading this the other day, funnily enough, the first time I've seen it for a while. There was a final issue of... this one. Final issue of the... of Cleo, March 1990. And in the back of this, there are... I wrote a piece, and so did my two predecessors. It was set up in 1970 by Tom... Well, not by Tom Hasty, he was the first warden. Mm. Strange title we had.
It is odd, but they're all called wardens. Mm, yeah. The other ones that were set up in different parts of the country.
Mm, yeah. And I don't know... whether that was at the same time as all the other subject centres, because you're aware that there were loads of them.
Yeah, I've got a list of them from LMA.
Mm. But Tom, Tom's piece here, and I mean, we can photocopy it, and I think I've only got one copy of this. Before I found all mine, because I didn't know what I'd done with them, they were in the roof, I had lunch with a colleague, Hilary Bordillon. I don't know if you've come across her.
Oh, yes, I have, yeah.
She said, oh, I've still got my Cleo. So I went over a couple of weeks ago and picked up hers and then found I had all mine. She doesn't have the final copy, but that's her set there. So I do have two of some, but I don't think she's got the final issue. But I mean,
we can photograph it.
Or I can photograph it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recollections of Two Decades. And he.
That's brilliant.
Carol Adams is my predecessor.
Yeah. I'd come across Tom before, because he was a leading light in the London History Teachers Association.
That's right. Yeah. Now, I am assuming he's dead, but I don't know.
Must be.
He must be, mustn't he? He was quite elderly.
He was teaching in the 50s, so, yeah.
I mean, he retired in 80. Well, that's 30 years ago.
But he could have been 60 when he retired.
Been 60. I mean, he might still be around. But he certainly was there. This is 1990. Mm. And so let's see. First 2 terms were traumatic. Well, he's talking about it being set up.
Mm.
And who the inspector, Hal Davis. Yes, he was the person who appointed me. And he retired the year I took over. And, yeah, I mean, I think that'll give you as best we can for what I can give you.
That's excellent.
I didn't come into ILEA until 1979. I started teaching in Harrow, although I lived in inner London. And I went to, as I said, I was appointed to my teaching job by Hal Davis, who was the staff inspector, and... before I'd even taken up the post, which was the September, and I was appointed in the February or January, I was invited by my head teacher, who was Margaret Maiden, who was a very dynamic head and strong on curriculum. She and Hal, called me in on a course that the centre was organising, the residential, out at Avery Hill. And it was a weekend, actually. And it was such a fantastic sort of introduction to the authority, really, a level of sort of challenge and thinking. And it was around sort of psychology and theories of learning and thinking about its application to the subject and so forth.
So the local inspectorate were organising that course,
were
they?
That was three, yeah. Mm. And so that was before I even arrived that I had that. So I then spent 4 years at Islington Green, as it was then, teaching history and so forth. And when Carol Adams was about to move on to the Inspectorate for Equal Opportunity, the new inspectorate, largely really because of the work that had gone on there, I think, around gender, I was sort of persuaded to apply for her job. And I wasn't particularly ready to leave the classroom, but... The 4 years that I'd had at that school and the support I'd had from advisory teachers and the courses and, you know, just generally, it was just fantastic, and I hadn't had that in my previous job at all. I sort of thought, well, actually, it'd be quite nice to give back something of what, you know, I'd had. Mm-hmm. And, And it'd be interesting to and initially I was going to go as a secondment for 2 years as advisory teacher, and then Carol was going, and I suddenly realised I was in a permanent job. So it was a bit of an accident that I came to be doing it, really. I hadn't really thought through leaving the classroom.
There were a series of these secondments, weren't
there? There were two history advisory teachers, secondary, one social science, and a primary sort of social studies. And then subsequently, when political education was established, there was
one for that.
So that's 2, 4, 5, 6.
Six as well, yes.
Plus me, plus the warden. And we had a librarian. I don't know if this is the sort of thing that's interesting to you.
Yeah.
Librarian. A media resources officer, who we shared with textiles, who were in the next door building, and we had careers on the top floor as well.
So it's quite a substantial...
It was quite an operation. It was a fantastic Georgian, large, shambling house in Clapham, with a conversion of the old, what would have been the old stables. You could still see where the mangers had been and stuff like that, with a big garden... And a bit of sort of ground around. It was fabulous, actually, and a Victorian conservatory where we served teas. Social area. It was really delightful to work in.
Lovely.
And we had two secretaries. Well, basically, we had part of the inspectorate there. We had the history inspector, or the chief inspector, wasn't there. He was based at County Hall. But we had a social science inspector, careers inspector, and they shared a PA. And then we had a PA, I had a PA, and I shared her with the advisory team.
How did your role as warden differ from the advisory teachers?
Well, we used to have a joke, you know, we'd have to get the duster out and make sure there were enough biscuits. I guess my role differed, and because I was very much, and I'd gone in with an advisory teacher hat on, and because I'd changed from being advisory teacher to warden, and they hadn't been able to appoint somebody to replace me as advisory teacher straight away, I had to carry both roles. So I sort of started out as both and carried on as both.
So advisory teachers used to visit a lot of schools,
didn't
they?
Yes, I went out. I probably didn't go out as much as everybody else did, but I did all of that. And I was the only school's history project person. So I did all the SHP schools, which there weren't huge numbers, but there were enough to keep me busy. And I was the regional rep. And I had been in my school job as well for the SHP because Carol didn't know about it. And she'd asked me to take that on. So I used to go up to Cambridge when it was the old O-level and CSE boards. I was on both as a rep. So I carried on that role. And I had to... I guess the major thing was managing a budget. And it was a period quite interesting, actually, in CPD generally. There was a big sort of initiative around identifying and meeting needs as opposed to putting on stuff that you thought was...
So sort of predecessor to the personalised curriculum idea.
Yes, for teachers. So I did quite a lot of work surveying and talking to school managers. And it was also the period of quinquennial reviews of schools. Ilya was really at the front of doing self-evaluation. So all the departments, and as I left my department, we were evaluating ourselves in what was actually, I think, you know, sound sort of basis, really, sort of thing that Ofsted started as if it was new, but had been going on in India for quite some time. And so the quinquennial reviews, departments actually did a review of their inset needs. So I picked up all of that stuff. Collated it and reported out of that, really, and we looked at everything we did.
So did you hold quite big inset events at the centre?
Yeah.
So it had the facilities, lecture room, etc.
We had done. We had a hall. We had two halls, really. We had something we called the hall, which was, if you can imagine, a very large thinking about how big it would have been. Probably four of these. It was a large room,
sort which would have been knocked through.
Probably take this space and multiply it again in that direction, and it was rectangular. It could accommodate. We used to run sixth form lectures. You know, sixth form kids come down, and we'd have, I don't know, if I said 100, it would probably, it would certainly take 100. It might have taken 200. But we didn't have, you know, frequently have. I mean, I used to have, for example, the Institute of Education used to bring their students down each year, and there'd be about, I think it used to be about 50 of them. And I would, they'd bring them down for things like equal opportunities and mixed ability teaching, and you know, and we'd sort of do a day on that in this space with 50 student teachers, I guess. And then we had the thing I was telling you about, the conversion of the stable area was not such a nice, it was sort of semi-underground. It did have windows, but it was a lower and darker space. And we used to use that for lunches, really, and had a little kitchen down there.
Mm.
But we could double up, use that as exhibition space. So when we come on to focus on women, Women's History Week, we used to use that as an exhibition space. We were quite near the HA, of course. It's not a dissimilar building to the HA's, although older. And then we had seminar rooms. And quite a lot of the rooms were converted into office space. But we had, I'm trying to think how many working rooms we had. We didn't have that many, probably three extra spaces. It was fairly flexible. We could break out into smaller groups. And the political education room took over one of those, quite a big one, and there was a meeting area at one end, a resources library, and a working space. So it's multi-use, really.
So was the library of materials to support history and social sciences also quite extensive?
It was... Yes.
You could go in and pick stuff off the shelves.
Yes, people came and selected stuff and we loaned it. Some stuff we didn't let go.
Well, they had to photocopy it.
It was two rooms. They had a partition, sort of doors that opened between them. It must have been bedrooms originally, I guess. One room was quite big. Oh, and there was a library admin-y place screened off as well, so it was in three sections, the width of the building. It was heaving, really. I mean, we had so much stuff in there.
How did you go about collecting materials?
It's interesting. I don't know how it started. I don't know whether Tom can tell us in his piece, but for us, we were Ilya-wide, but we were national as well, really, because we were the only one at that time of that sort of size.
Scale, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, so I remember people coming from Durham, from Bristol, from, you know, not huge numbers, but trickle, and internationally. We used to get quite a lot of people from Spain at that time because they were just coming out of the Franco era.
Mm.
Very interested in the school's history project. And what that meant was if publishers wanted to think about what they were going to go and do, they came and talked to us. So pretty much every week a publisher would come in, meet somebody in the conservatory over a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And so publishers were very generous. We used to get free copies of everything, really. So that was, I guess, our major... source. The other one was Diana, the librarian, fantastic person. Just used to keep an eye out. I mean, if we read something that was interesting, we'd get it.
Did you ever commission materials to meet the needs? You know, you would go out and identify the needs of the teachers.
Yes, well, some of this stuff, I guess, quite a lot of stuff I haven't got, but I have got one or two things. So, for example, there was a big period of debate around integrated humanities. And this was one of the most difficult jobs we had, actually, which was coming together with our colleagues in the geography and environmental studies and forge a shared view, because we were both very precious about our patches. And there's quite a lot of documentation in there about humanity, integrated humanities, and what needed to be in place. And so we did a paper for discussion, and then we produced a sample unit where we tried to retain the integrity of our two. I mean, it's all typed, you can see it's all typed, all typewritten. So yes, have a look at that.
I would like to. Thank you very much. Yes,
and I'll take my son one to try and encourage him out of his head. Do you take milk?
I do.
And sugar?
Yeah, no, just plenty of milk, thanks. That's what I quite like, milky. So.
It's a blend, actually. I hope you're all right. It's
sure, that's lovely.
And Earl Grey.
Yeah, be fine. So it's designed to adapt to whatever their local park is, so they can get the best out of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's sort of one example. The other is the introduction or development of GCSE and GCSE training. We didn't particularly like what was coming out from the board, so we did our own. That's those two. And I'm just trying to think. The other thing that I'm missing, which I rescued from Tower Hamlets and took to Enfield and were in one of the filing cabinets, we encouraged, it was very difficult to get, but we encouraged people to leave us their examples of the work that they developed for their students. So we had a huge collection of school-based resources. And they hadn't been incorporated into the collection in Tower Hamlets, but they'd been put in an outside stable building. And I actually just picked up the filing cabinet and took it out to Enfield and kept it there. Now, that's something I wonder if it's survived. Because it's not... A lot of the stuff wasn't great. Some of it was very good. But it was a real archive for looking at how things were moving.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to see, because it's teachers' own work, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I may be able to find it. If I will try if it's of interest. And I'm in Enfield next week, because they've asked me to go and do a sort of keynote, end-of-the-day type talk on an international global dimension conference they've got going. And I thought I might use, I mean, Friday as well, because I'm judging a competition on Friday and then I'm going back on Monday. And I thought I might use that as an opportunity, particularly if the person, there's anybody from the school where this stuff has gone, I'll see if I can retrieve, go and have a look and see what they've got there.
Yeah.
See if there's anything to take this down. Cool. Entice him.